And what I mean by that is, you know, I exercise for maybe 15 or 20 minutes a day. And sometimes I eat healthy, and that's about the extent of it. But there are people who are committed to being physically fit. Now, if you are committed to being physically fit, that requires discipline. That requires sacrifice. And you need to understand that if you want to be committed to being physically fit, it's a commitment that is 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. So there are people who are obsessed with physical fitness. And what I mean by that is they'll get up at 4 a.m. and they will go to the gym and they will work out for 2 or 3 hours before they go to work. It's that important to them. Or they will, after work, at the end of the day, they will go to the gym and they will spend hours at the gym. When I used to go to the gym, I wasn't there for 3 hours. I was there for an hour. And I would do, you know, 30 minutes on a treadmill and lift a few weights and then I'd leave. And but I wasn't there every day either. I was there twice a week, you know, 3 days a week, something like that. I was dabbling in physical fitness. But people who are committed to physical fitness, they don't miss. They are there every single day and they're there for a long time. And when I'm at the gym working out next to someone who is committed to physical fitness, you can see the difference. It's obvious. Like you can look at that person and say, that person is committed to physical fitness. And then you look at me and say, and that guy, he's dabbling in physical fitness. And I just say that to make this point, that we are Christians. And as Christians, we are disciples of Jesus. And just like it's true with physical fitness, it is also true with being a disciple of Jesus. There are those who are committed to being a disciple of Jesus. And then there are those who are just dabbling with the idea of discipleship. Now, if you want to be physically fit, you make a commitment to work out, to exercise. You make a commitment to get the proper amount of sleep, and you make a commitment to eat healthy. So if you're committed to being physically fit, you're not eating pizza and cheeseburgers and nachos and drinking sodas, but you're eating healthy foods and you're making good choices. And even if you're at a party and they're having cake and ice cream and pizza, you're not eating those things. You could be around those people, but you're not eating those things because you have made a commitment to being physically fit. And the same thing is true with us spiritually speaking. If we have made a commitment to being a disciple of Jesus, we need to understand that this is a 24-hour-a-day commitment. This is a 7-day-a-week commitment, and it's going to involve sacrifice, and it's going to involve being disciplined and doing certain things in order for us to be like Jesus. So, there is a Jewish rabbi, his name is Yosef ben Yosser, and he said, let your home be a meeting place for the sages, cover yourself with the dust of their feet, drink in their words thirstily. And what he means by that is this, let your home be a meeting place for the sages. If a rabbi is coming into my town, I want to invite the rabbi over to my house. I want the rabbi to eat in my house. I want the rabbi to teach in my house. I want the community to come to my house in order to hear the words of the rabbi. I want to, you know, invite the rabbi in. I want to be as close to the rabbi as possible. I want to interact with the rabbi as much as possible. And so when I think about this, I think about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. When Jesus would go to Jerusalem, they lived, I think it was called Bethany, which is very close to Jerusalem, and Jesus would stay at their house. Jesus would eat at their house. They invited Jesus to come in. And we know the story about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and drinking in the words of Jesus thirstily. She was like a sponge wanting to absorb everything that Jesus had to say. And so she was sitting at Jesus' feet and Jesus was teaching. And she had chosen the good part is what Jesus said. And so we need to be like that when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. Is Jesus in your home? And do you hear the words of Jesus in your home? Are you drinking in the words of Jesus thirstily? Now, Yose ben Yoser also said, be covered in the dust of their feet. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Being covered in the dust of Jesus' feet. Now imagine Jesus is walking and he has his disciples with him and they're going to the next village. And they might walk for 3 miles. I don't know how far it's going to be to the next village, but they're walking down a dirt path and they're probably wearing sandals. And every step that you take as you walk, a little cloud of dust is going to form around your feet and your ankles. And by the time you reach your destination, your feet are going to be filthy dirty. Your feet are going to be filthy dirty because you've taken so many steps and walked through that little puff of dust so much that it's just collected on your feet. But the idea is not to be covered in your own dust, but to be covered in the dust of Jesus' footsteps. If Jesus is going somewhere, I want to go with him. And if Jesus is walking, I want to walk side by side with Jesus. I want to walk so closely to Jesus that my feet are covered in the little puffs of dust that his footsteps have created. I want to be that close to Jesus that the dust on my feet are the product of his footsteps. Now, imagine that Jesus is walking and there are 70 disciples walking with Jesus. And you are the 37th person in line from Jesus. And as you're walking, Jesus is talking and he's teaching, but you can't really hear what Jesus is saying. Not very clearly. You can't hear him because there's 36 people separating you from Jesus. And so you say, what did he just say? Blessed are the cheesemakers? I mean, I like cheese, but that kind of doesn't make sense here. You know, no, he didn't say that. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. But I couldn't hear him clearly because there's 36 people separating me from Jesus. If we're walking with a group of people with Jesus, I don't want to be the 36th person in line or the 37th person in line. I want to be right next to Jesus. I want to be side by side with Jesus. I want to hear everything that Jesus is saying. And if I'm the 37th person in line, when we get to our destination, my feet are going to be filthy. But I'm not going to be covered in the dust of Jesus' footsteps. I'm going to be covered in the dust of the 5 or 6 people who are walking around me. It was their footsteps that have made my feet dirty. And so we want to walk as closely with Jesus as we can. In order to understand the commitment necessary to be a disciple of Jesus, I want us to look at 2 Hebrew words. So the first Hebrew word is the word talmid. Talmid. If you're taking notes, it is spelled T-A-L-M-I-D. Talmid. Now, the word talmid is translated disciple in our Bibles. But the word talmid comes from the second Hebrew word, which is the first word I want to look at this morning, and that is the word talmid. So if you take the L out of talmid, you have the word talmid. That is spelled T-A-M-I-D, talmid. And the word talmid means constant, continuous, a daily practice, never ending. So something that is talmid is an ongoing thing that never ends. And it happens regularly every single day without fail. That is talmid. So this word is used in the Bible. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 29. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 29. And we'll read verses 38 to 42. Exodus 29, 38 to 42. Exodus 29, verse 38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 1-year-old lambs each day, continuously. And that word continuously is the word tamid. Tamid. Verse 39. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And there shall be 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with 1/4 of a hin of beaten oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine for a drink offering with one lamb. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer it with the same grain offering and the same drink offering as in the morning, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. It shall be a tamid. That is, it shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. Here we see instructions given to Israel concerning the burnt offering, the national burnt offering. The Israelites are going to offer a sacrifice to God every morning, and they're going to offer a sacrifice to God every evening. And we see here in verse 38 that this sacrifice is going to be offered continuously. In verse 42, the sacrifice is going to be a continual burnt offering. Every single day, twice a day, they're going to offer up these sacrifices. Now, these are burnt offerings. And the burnt offering is unique in comparison to the other sacrifices that the Israelites would offer up. Because with most of the other sacrifices that the Israelites would offer, a portion of that sacrifice would be given to the priests. And it was their food. It was their payment for their service as priests. And a portion of those sacrifices might be given to the worshiper themselves. And they would eat in the house of the Lord as if they were eating a fellowship meal with God, having been reconciled to God and being united with God. But when it comes to the burnt offering, none of it is given to the priest. And none of it belongs to the worshiper either, but rather the entirety of this animal is being offered up to God as a burnt offering. And the person who is offering a burnt offering is making a commitment to God. It's a total commitment. What they are saying to God is this: just as I give to you the entirety of this animal, I also give to you the entirety of myself. I give myself to you completely and wholeheartedly, and I hold nothing back. Everything about me belongs to you, and I live to serve you and to glorify you. And so it's a complete commitment, total commitment that you're making when you offer a burnt offering up to God. Now, individuals could offer a burnt offering up to God. Any individual who chose to could do this. However, the national burnt offering was offered up to God every morning and every afternoon, twice a day. And what would happen is at, I believe it was about 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., the priest would blow a horn. It's called the shofar. And if you were in Jerusalem, you would hear the sound of the horn being blown. And you knew that it was time for the national burnt offering to be offered to the Lord. And an animal would be sacrificed and would be offered up to God there in the temple or the tabernacle, wherever it was. And what you would do as a Jew living in Jerusalem, and even if you were out of Jerusalem, you would be aware of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. These were special times of the day. Everyone would stop what they were doing. All business would cease. All secular activities would cease. And everyone would meditate and pray and rededicate themselves to God. Twice a day, the people as a nation would rededicate themselves to God and say, I need to give myself to the Lord completely and wholeheartedly. And so the whole nation of Israel would pause twice a day, every day, while these offerings were being offered up to the Lord. Well, what about on the Sabbath day? Are we going to offer these burnt offerings up to God on the Sabbath day? Yes, on the Sabbath day as well. Because these offerings are supposed to be tamid. That means continuous, unending. There's never a stopping to these offerings. And it represents the fact that we are constantly and continuously devoting ourselves to God. Well, what about if it's 100 degrees outside? Am I supposed to go out there and offer up a burnt offering in the heat? In the heat of the day? Yes, you go out there, even when it's hot, and you offer the burnt offering to the Lord. But what if it's raining outside? Am I expected to go out and offer up a burnt offering to God in the rain? Yes, you'll get wet, big deal, you'll live. But what if it's cold? What if it's snowing outside? You offer up the burnt offering, even if it's snowing outside. So what? You'll be cold, but you're still dedicated to God. Okay? In other words, there is no time when the burnt offering is not going to be offered up. Okay? It is a tamid commitment. It is a constant commitment to the Lord. This word tamid is also found in Numbers chapter 28. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 28. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Numbers 28, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offerings by fire, of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. You shall say to them, this is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord, 2 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, as a continual, that is, a tamid, burnt offering every day. You shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual, that is, a tamid, a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord.'" And again, we see that these sacrifices are to be given to God regularly, continuously, without fail. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 6. And read verses 12 and 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And he shall lay out the burnt offering on it, and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. Fire shall be kept burning continually," that is tamid, "continually on the altar. It is not to go out." When the altar was built, and the first sacrifice was going to be offered up, fire came down from heaven and lit that altar. So this is holy fire. And this is the fire that is supposed to be kept burning continuously. That fire is never supposed to be extinguished. That fire is never supposed to go out. If that fire were to go out, why would it go out? They didn't do their job. Maybe they neglected the work that they were called to do. Someone is supposed to be tending the fire always, making sure that the fire never goes out. The fire is constantly, forever, supposed to be burning there on the altar. And they are to feed it and keep it alive and never let it go out. Okay? And this is the kind of commitment that the Israelites were called to make to God. But this is a good definition of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Because our commitment to Jesus should be a tamid commitment. That is a continual commitment, a daily devotion, an ongoing practice without end, something that will never go out. So we see here that the fire is to be kept burning in verse 13 continually, and the opposite of the fire burning continually is that it would go out. But it says here it is not supposed to go out, okay? And so we have a fire burning within us, a passion to be a Christian, a passion to be like Jesus. But we need to keep that passion burning. We need to keep that fire going. We need to keep that desire alive. We cannot neglect our duties as a Christian to such an extent that the fire within us dies out. We need to keep that fire burning. Now, that's the word tamid, T-A-M-I-D. When you add the letter L to the word tamid, it becomes talmid, T-A-L-M-I-D. And the word talmid is sometimes translated disciple in our Bibles. However, the word talmid literally means to be joined to a teacher or to be affixed to a teacher. To be attached to a teacher. So it's describing a disciple, but it's a little more graphic than just a disciple. You know, it's to be connected to a teacher in such a way that that connection is not going to be broken. Okay, it is to be affixed, fastened to the teacher so that you are constantly with the teacher. Now, it's interesting that a talmid is going to have a talmid commitment to his teacher, to his rabbi. In the Hebrew alphabet, the letter L is the tallest letter in the alphabet. The letter L stands higher than all the other letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so all the other letters in the Hebrew alphabet have to look up to see the letter L. And because of that, the letter L has come to represent or symbolize the Most High, which is God. The letter L represents God in the Hebrew mind. And so God is the King of Kings. He is above all other beings. And he stands unequaled, unrivaled, and everyone else looks up to God. And so when we think about the Tamid commitment of a talmid, of a disciple, who is it that we are committing ourselves to serving and following? It is none other than God himself. Amen. But we are disciples of Jesus. And what does that say about Jesus? Jesus, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, has been given the name which is above every name. There is only one name that is above every name, and that is Jehovah, the name of God himself. And so Jesus has received the name which is above every name. And it's fitting that Jesus should receive this name because according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Jesus is God with us. He is God in human form. And if we are disciples of Jesus, then we are a people who are affixed to Jesus. That is, attached, fastened to Jesus. And our devotion to Jesus is a constant daily devotion that has no end. So to be a disciple is to be someone who has a burning passion to be like their teacher. And we must have a burning passion to be like Jesus. We need to spend every day with Jesus. We need to be walking with Jesus and walking so closely next to Jesus that we literally are covered in the dust of Jesus's feet. Amen. We need to desire to be like Jesus in every way. We need to walk the way Jesus walks. We need to sleep the way Jesus sleeps. We need to eat the way Jesus eats. We need to think the way Jesus thinks. We need to speak the way Jesus speaks. We need to teach the way Jesus teaches. We need to love the way Jesus loved. We need to forgive the way Jesus forgives. We need to learn to be like Jesus as much as possible. So if you were a disciple in Jewish culture in the first century, you were a disciple of a rabbi, it was not like going to school. We have this idea of going to school. We send our kids to school in the morning, and then they come home in the afternoon, and they spent a good 6 or 8 hours at school today, you know? But when they come home, they leave school behind, and they return to their lives. You know, school is not their lives. It's just something that they do for a few hours each day. That's not what it means to be a disciple of a rabbi. You don't go for a few hours, spend some time with the rabbi, and then leave the rabbi and return to your normal life. No, being with the rabbi is your normal life. And a disciple was with the rabbi 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There was rarely a time when a disciple was not in the presence of the rabbi. The disciple would be with the rabbi and do everything that the rabbi does. When the rabbi stands up, the disciple stands up. When the rabbi sits down, the disciple sits down. When the rabbi walks, the disciple walks. When the rabbi eats, the disciple eats. When the rabbi sleeps, the disciple sleeps. The disciple is going to hear every word that the rabbi says. The disciple is going to see everything that the rabbi does. And the disciple is going to participate in doing those things that the rabbi is doing because he's a disciple of the rabbi. He's a talmid of the rabbi, and his commitment to the rabbi is a talmid commitment. That is, he's been affixed to this teacher, and he's going to be with this teacher for as long as he possibly can. And so when the rabbi goes in the bath to use the restroom, the disciple also goes in to use the restroom. He doesn't want to miss anything. You see, he wants to know, is there a prayer, is there a blessing that the rabbi might say when he uses the restroom? Because the rabbi does have a prayer or a blessing he says for just about everything he does. And there is a prayer that he says when he uses the restroom. He says, I praise you, Lord Most High, for giving us openings in our bodies. And the disciple needs to know that that's what you say when you go to the restroom. And that might sound silly to you, but wait until one of those openings doesn't work anymore and see, you know, the harm that it causes to the body. But that's the type of connection that the disciple has with the rabbi. It's that kind of closeness and attachment that they have with each other. This is the kind of commitment that we need to have when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. We must have a consuming passion for walking with Jesus and being like Jesus. Every waking moment is about being like Jesus and honoring Jesus as our teacher. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, the Bible says, "Everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher." And that is the goal for us as disciples of Jesus, to be fully trained so that we can be like Jesus. In John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus said, "I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you." So we must follow in Jesus's example. And of course, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." We should be imitators of Jesus. And if we're being imitators of a Christian who is a disciple of Jesus, that disciple should be so closely imitating Jesus that by imitating that disciple, we are actually imitators of Jesus himself. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, "God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son." It was always God's plan that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so we strive to be like Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. I've died to myself to such an extent that my life is not about me, but rather it is Christ who lives in me. If I live, I live for Christ. And if I live, it's because Jesus lives in me. And so that's the goal of a disciple, to be so much like Jesus that it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In order to be like Jesus, we must be covered in the dust of Jesus' feet. And that means we must be walking with him every single day. But here's the thing. How can we walk with Jesus? I mean, Jesus is not here, at least not in physical human form. You know, we read about in the Gospels, Jesus walking with his disciples. He was there in physical human form, and the disciples literally walked with Jesus. They were literally covered in the dust of Jesus' feet. But how can we today be covered in the dust of Jesus' feet? David Flusser is a Jewish scholar, and he was the president of Hebrew University. And on one occasion, he said this. He said, Christians claim to be disciples of Rabbi Jesus. However, any Christian who claims to be a disciple of Jesus and does not read the four Gospels every month is a liar. He could not possibly know Jesus well enough to be like him. That's a pretty bold statement. But he's speaking from a Jewish perspective. He knows what it means to be a disciple of a rabbi from a Jewish perspective. And sometimes we as Christians think we're disciples of Jesus, but we have no understanding of what it means to be a disciple. You know, we might show up on Sunday morning for worship, and we might be here. You might come to Bible class and worship and feel like, wow, what a great thing you've done. You know, maybe you come back on Sunday nights. Maybe if there's a midweek Bible study, you might be there on Wednesday nights as well. And then you return to your life and you live your life, you know, your normal life. And so you showed up for 4 hours and you call yourself a disciple of Jesus? But from a Jewish perspective, if you were to just show up for 4 hours, you're not committed to being a disciple. You're just dabbling in discipleship. And so he's saying that in order for us to truly be disciples of Jesus, we need to understand that this is a 24-hour-a-day commitment. This is a 7-day-a-week commitment. We need to be constantly walking with Jesus. And he says that in order for us to walk with Jesus, we must be reading the Gospels every single month, at a minimum, in order to be a disciple of Jesus. How can we know our master well enough to be just like him unless we have this kind of daily commitment to walking with Jesus? And so one of the things I started doing a while back, and I probably need to be more disciplined about doing it today, is I started reading all four Gospels every month. The first week, read Matthew. The second week, read Mark. The third week, read Luke. The fourth week, read John. And then next month, do it all over again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And next month, do it all over again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just constantly be reading the Gospels and constantly be seeing Jesus and hearing the words of Jesus and meditating on what Jesus does and how he responds to people and how he interacts with people and the message that Jesus is teaching and the example that he has set for us. How can we call ourselves disciples of Jesus if we're not walking with Jesus to such an extent that we are covered in the dust of Jesus' feet? So, John chapter 8, verse 31 says, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. Who are the true disciples of Jesus? But those who continue in his word. Now, that was spoken in Greek. But if it was spoken in Hebrew, I wonder if that word continue would have been tamid, which describes the commitment a disciple would have to his master. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, "The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." We're going to be judged by the words of Jesus. Knowing that, we should be a people who are very interested in knowing what Jesus said. Reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, putting it into practice in our daily walk. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." His words are life. And in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." A disciple is someone who has been baptized into Christ and has been taught to observe all that was commanded, keeping the commandments of Jesus. We cannot call ourselves disciples of Jesus and then be ignorant of his word and be ignorant of his commandments or be negligent in keeping his commandments. But a disciple is someone who has a daily discipline of walking with Jesus and putting into practice his teachings. And so the question I leave you with this morning is, are you committed to being a disciple of Jesus, or are you dabbling in discipleship? So I don't know what time we're supposed to end class, but I'm done. We can open it up to questions or comments or thoughts if anyone has something they would like to share or ask. Yes?
It made me think of Elijah and Elisha.
Yes.
Because it said, you know, when Elijah threw down his mantle to Elisha, he became his servant. And after Elijah died, Jehoshaphat was like, there's nobody, you know, to give the Lord's message. There's no more prophet in Israel. And they said, well, what about Elisha, who poured water on Elijah's hands, a euphemism for he was his servant. And it sort of reminded me of this relationship.
Yeah. So, yes, that's a perfect example of like a disciple and a rabbi. And then when Elijah goes, Elisha, you know, takes Elijah's place. Mm-hmm. You know, he has his mantle, and Elijah had just used it to part the waters of the river so that they could cross. And then when Elisha comes back, he does the same thing with it. And it's like, he has stepped into his shoes and become the new Elijah. And so that's a great example. I appreciate you bringing that up. Anybody else? Well, thank you. We're dismissed for the time being.